Welcome to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. If you would like to participate on today's program, call now, 803-1520. That's 803-1520.
All right, here we go. Think Again. Think Again. Welcome to our topic discussion program, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Western New York, still fighting the war on poverty, now in our 54th year. Each week, we talk to you about issues, events, and trends affecting you right here and right now in Buffalo and the Western New York community, and in fact, connecting to communities all across the country. I'm your host, L. Nathan Hare, President and CEO of the Community Action Organization. Make us a part of your Saturday every Saturday at ESPN 1520 AM on your dial from 11 o'clock to 12 noon each week. Now, today's program is live, so you can call in. You can join our discussion, hope that you will. Our number here again is 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Now, I just want to address a little bit of the hype that goes on. We get so many crazy stories that, you know, that come up. Real quickly, it is true that the nation's strategic reserves of N95 masks and respirators were seriously depleted during the administration of Barack Obama. But there are mitigating factors for that. During the presidency of Barack Obama, the national stockpile was seriously taxed as the administration addressed multiple crises over 8 years. About 75% of the N95 respirators and 25% of the face masks contained in the CDC's strategic national stockpile were deployed for use in healthcare settings over the course of the 2009-2010 H1N1 pandemic response. This is according to the 2017 study by the Journal of Health Security. Again, according to the National Institute of Health, the stockpile's resources were also used during Hurricanes Alex, Hurricanes Irene, Hurricanes Isaac, and Hurricane Sandy. There was flooding in 2010 in North Dakota that called for a bunch of the stockpile to be deployed. There was a 2014 outbreaks of the Ebola virus and botulism, as well as a 2016 outbreak of the Zika virus. All that significantly reduced the stockpile that was held by the CDC. Now, it's true that, as ProPublica reported on April 3rd, that the Obama administration could have replaced all those supplies that had been used up in those disasters. But during that time period, we had big budget battles between the Republican-controlled Congress and the Obama administration. And so they basically made decisions. They prioritized using the resources that they had to buy life-saving drugs from small biotechnology companies that would, in the absence of a government buyer, would have no market for their products, instead of using it for the mask and the respirators, because they felt that the mask and the other protective equipment were usually available during normal times, and thus they didn't have to be prioritized for government purchase. Let me just deal with another quick rumor that Donald Trump had a stake in the hydroxychloroquine drug, or the drug maker. The drug maker was a company called Sanofi, which I believe is a French company, a drug maker. Donald Trump does have a small direct interest in that company, but it's only worth about $1,500. The he has three family trusts, however, and each of those trusts had investments in a mutual fund whose largest holding was this Sanofi company. The odd thing is Trump's assertiveness in promoting the drug hydroxychloroquine, contrary to the recommendation of top health experts. It's raised questions about what is his motive. A chorus of Trump supporters with no medical expertise have backed the president's urging of the doctors to treat COVID-19 patients with this hydroxychloroquine drug, including Rudy Giuliani and Fox News host Sean Hannity. Trump says, yeah, you should try it. What do you have to lose? But of course, Patricia Harris, Dr. Patricia Harris, president of the American Medical Association, says, well, what you could lose is your life. She says this is a new virus, and we should not be promoting any medication or drug for any disease that has not been proven and approved by the FDA. But Donald Trump, anticipating that this drug would work, has given and given what he says are positive initial results. He bought with our money, with our collective tax money, he bought 29 million doses of hydroxychloroquine and has them in the CDC stockpile as a potential treatment for COVID-19 patients. Don't really know what that's all about, but I just needed to let you know that. In terms of where we are right now with this COVID-19 virus, I think that as the last report I pulled off of my phone was that we had 505,000 infections that had occurred, 18,771 deaths had occurred in the United States. In New York State, we had over 170,000 infections that have occurred. infections that have occurred, and we had, I believe, 7,844 deaths that have occurred in New York State. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, well, let me go back. Trump is continuing to throw out numbers, trying to suggest that he's doing a much better job than Barack Obama did in dealing with similar crises. Well, you know, these are just different things. They're apples and oranges. But the Center for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that between 9,000 and 18,000 people died in the United States between 2009 and 2010 from the H1N1 or swine flu pandemic. There were 60.8 million people who got the, who got the swine flu. And there were something in the area of 12,469 people that died from the swine flu over the course of a year. We had our first case of corona on January 21st of this year. This is now April the 12th. It seems to me like we have something in the area of 18,771 people that have died from the coronavirus. More people have died in this 2 month or 3 month period from the coronavirus than died in a 1 year period from the swine flu virus. Where Trump is getting his comparisons from, using them as a way to elevate himself. Exactly. So Donald Trump wants to, just I want to get a couple of things out here. Donald Trump wants to pump up the gas prices to save the gas and oil industries their normal profitability. You can't make this stuff up. In 2005, the last time the price of a barrel of oil, or excuse me, the first time the price of a barrel of oil was $50, but it was $50.04 a barrel. In 2005, the price of gasoline on average for that year was $2.30. In 2009, the price of a barrel of oil was $53.48. The price of gasoline was $2.35. So we can see what the relationship is there. But recently, the price for a barrel of oil fell as low as $23 a barrel, and it's up around $28 a barrel right now. But we're still paying $2.35 a barrel. Something doesn't make sense. Over the past 3 weeks, the Russians and Saudi Arabians have been engaged in an oil price war that caused the lowering of the price of a barrel of oil. Donald Trump says that the gas and oil industry has lots of jobs. It's a big industry. We got to save the industry. But it seems to me that they're already making a big profit. The last time oil was around $28 a barrel was in 2003. When the price was actually $27.69 a barrel, gasoline at that time was priced at $1.59 a barrel. Gasoline is being priced at $2.30 a barrel right now. So we're being, you know, hit with a 60 or 70% excess price or per gallon, right? A 60 cents to 70 cents per gallon price that we're paying above what it cost the last time a price of barrel was at this this level. Why is it during the critical time, this critical time in our country, that our president is more concerned about protecting the profits of the oil and gas industry than he is that is clearly making stupendous profits already, buying cheap oil and selling the high price and selling high price gasoline. Why is there no outcry about this? He tells us that we should resurrect the deduction of business meals from our businesses' taxable income. He says you have to do this because the restaurant business lost so much money. Well, I have a report here from the National Restaurant Association. The tax bill that killed the deduction for business luncheons was passed in December of 2017. And from that point until today, the restaurant business has gone up virtually every single month over the course of that time period. So what we're being told is just not true. So there's a lot more that I want to talk to you guys about, but let me get started. I think we have John. Let me get John first and get his thoughts. John, how are you doing out there?
Good, Nathan. The testing thing, the Trump will not enforce the Defense Production Act, and I think I know why. I mean, you know, to get the PPE and the ventilators. I'm pretty sure he's doing it with the pressure from Wall Street. Wall Street does not want him to do something that would seem like socialism, or, you know, where the federal government takes over those businesses and forces them to create the testing and all the other things.
Well, keep in mind, John, that there's a cost here. You know, when we were in World War II, we were in Korea, even early in Vietnam, the federal government would take the auto industry and make them, instead of making Impalas and Bel Airs and, you know, Fleetwoods and that sort of stuff, they had to make Jeeps. They had to make tanks, you know, and that sort of stuff, which meant that they got money. It's not that they didn't get money for doing this, but it meant that they had to retool their production lines to make a different product. And then when they no longer needed to make that product, it was going to cost money to retool their production lines again to make the new product. And, of course, you know, they're used to making money the way they've been making money. So they just didn't want to make that adjustment.
There's no question that there would be a difficult assembly turnover. But the bottom line, I think, is Wall Street and they in the stock market. And everybody has this idea that the stock market is really for the middle class. It's really not. It's 85% of the stock market's in the hands of the top 10%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've got 90% of Americans that have 15% of the market. It's not a real good indicator of how middle class people are living. I think this whole thing from Wall Street is this idea of saving capitalism. We don't want to do anything socialist like FDR did when he converted the General Motors and Ford into making Jeeps and airplanes and things. So here's the thing, though. We are the most advanced country in the world, and we can't produce enough tests. Tests are the most important thing in attacking this virus. If you have testing, you could actually open up parts of the economy, but you've got to have the testing.
How does South Korea get into a position where, you know, they've done millions of tests? They were testing over 10,000 people a day 4 days after they found out they had the first corona case. How could they do it and we not be able to do it?
Right, exactly. And you got to have the will to do it, and he doesn't have the will to do it. He doesn't have the will to enforce this Defense Production Act. Also, another issue, too, I saw, especially today in the paper, there was an article about voting by mail. Mm-hmm. And Trump's all against voting by mail because that would mean that more people would vote. And why in a democracy should more people vote?
And then he had the nerve to claim that there was all of this fraud, that people were collecting the mail ballots and changing the counts, you know, and that sort of stuff. I mean, just outright lies. There's absolutely
voter fraud doesn't exist. There were 100 cases of voter fraud for over the last 10 years.
Right.
And they said that they prosecuted 10 of those cases.
Yep.
And several of them were. For example, a case of the 10 that they prosecuted, one elderly man, who was a Republican, by the way, mm-hmm. he went and voted for his wife because his wife was ill and couldn't get out of the house.
Right.
And they didn't have...
They wanted to put him in jail.
Yeah, they wanted... I mean, the cases like that, 10 cases they prosecuted in 10 years, because there were 100 over those 10 years, just ridiculous.
Yep.
And the bigger problem is trying to get rid of voting. In some states, they'll take a name like Rashad Washington. Now, who would Rashad Washington probably be?
Exactly.
You could just take
right.
the name. And if there's a Rashad Washington in South Carolina and one in North Carolina, they'll say, "Oh, we got to hold these back. Guys voted twice." You know.
Yep.
It's just crazy what they do about.
And they put you in a position first. You have to find out that they canceled your vote. You don't know that they canceled your vote. Then
right.
if you find out that they canceled your vote, you're the one that has to basically sue them. You have to fight them to get your vote to count, which people are just not going to spend that kind of energy and resources to do.
Right. But voting by mail should be automatic. I mean, the Republicans are afraid that if everybody was allowed to vote, they wouldn't win elections.
But if you vote on a Diebold voting machine that the Republicans can, you know, modify the software so it can change your votes, they'll let you vote on that machine.
Right, exactly. And the article in the paper today said that their belief that voting by mail would help the Democrats is not true.
Exactly.
In states that have it, they
exactly.
say it's not true. So
usually the people that vote by mail are older people, and
right.
older people tend to be more conservative. So. That's just a hoax. They've been running. It's like a con game that they've been running on the public, and the Democrats always go for it.
Any way to reduce the vote? That's what
yep.
they want to do.
Yep. Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man. Let me grab. We're gonna take our first break. We're gonna take our first break. Then we'll grab Frank, and then we'll get Kevin. So if y'all stick with us, we will send us out of the break here at Think Again. Think again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for our spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, wiper blades, brake kits, and more. Kick off the season right with fresh batteries for your lawn gear. For a limited time, purchase any SuperStart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
All day. Every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
We promise someday we're going to be together. We're going to be able to touch each other, walk next to each other. I'm hoping at least that that's going to be our day. Let me, before I get Frank, let me just lay one thing on you. Some things you just can't make up. Fox News medical contributor Dr. Nicole Safier on Sunday, April 5th, said the COVID-19 patients would soon need to be removed from ventilators even if they can't breathe on their own. She says, there's going to be more deaths this coming week. The reason I try to explain that to people is, although our rates of hospitalization are down, that is a good thing, but we're going to start seeing more deaths because the people that are having to be in the ICU on the ventilators, they're being kept on the ventilators from anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks. And she says, at some point, I'm not making this up, this is a quote, at some point, they will have to come off the ventilators and they're either going to survive or they're going to die. Then she says some of the mortality rates coming out of China are ranging from 60 to 90% of the people on the ventilators who die. And so why are we expending all of this energy on ventilators for these people that are going to die anyway? We should just take them out the ventilators and let them die. We don't need any more ventilators. Frank, how you doing out there?
You know, the rich tech groupie establishment, you know, they got to take care of their corporate oligarchy. And you know, for the rest of it, it's yo-yo economics.
Yep.
You know, you're on your own.
You believe that woman said, this is a doctor. She says this on Fox News, and she was not challenged when she said this.
That's Fox
now,
News.
Right. Now, you know when Barack Obama put together this Affordable Care Act, Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, the claim was made by the same people, Fox News, was that Barack Obama was trying to push death panels, making choices about who gets to live and who gets to die. This lady, she openly says, I get to decide, or we need to decide who gets to live and who gets to die. And no blowback from anybody, not from Trump, not from anybody.
You know, I'm having a hard time believing the Republican Party is taking this COVID-19 seriously. You know, case in point, the state of Wisconsin ran their primary in the middle of the virus apex.
Yep.
You know, the Democratic governor tried to get the primary moved to a later date, but the Republican state legislator and the conservative state Supreme Court
and the federal Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Also,
Then when Wisconsin Democrats tried to get the vote by mail edict, Trump and the Supreme Court and the national GOP shut them down, because the coronavirus is the best case scenario of voter suppression.
And Frank,
you know, Trump even admitted more people that vote is bad for Republicans.
Yep.
So the voters in the poor hoods, neighborhoods, were forced into long lines on a rainy day, primary day, you know. And Wisconsin GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was at one of the drive-up voting sites, only in the upper-class neighborhoods, by the way.
Yep.
You know, telling everyone on the useless news stations that it was safe to participate. Nathan, he was in a hazmat suit. He stole from first responders, wearing a surgical mask that no average citizen could find.
And then they reduced the number of polling places from 190 in Milwaukee to 5. To 5.
Exactly.
So you know that all those people that just couldn't possibly do. So who do you think got worst affected, you know, by that, especially where the polling places were? So, you know, most of the people that are limited resource folks, you know, couldn't drive, you know, couldn't be away from their house, away from their kids and so on. They just didn't get a chance to vote at all. So who did this bias the election towards? The people that had means.
Yeah. You know, all these guys, they should all be in a crowded prison, a jail holding cell wearing chains.
Yeah.
Honest to God. But briefly on the other side, I was pretty much floored when Senator Bernie Sanders dropped out. You know, Nathan, I don't usually drink, but that night I had enough alcohol in my system to kill any coronavirus.
Well, you know, I wasn't surprised. I think that if you just think about it, there's so little opportunity for Bernie Sanders to be able to get, you know, big TV time unless he could spend like $200-300 million a month, like, you know, Trump is getting $200 million a month in free TV time, you know, with these 6 o'clock briefings that he does where they're all about Trump, puffing up about Trump. And there's no way that Bernie Sanders is going to get enough face time to be able to get in front of the agenda. And I think he just realized that, you know, by the time they let this thing go, I'm going to be too far behind to have any chance to win the nomination. And my better alternative is, if I got to go with something, let me go with the Democrats and at least not have Donald Trump there. And then hopefully we can get progressive people in the next round. I think that's the way he looked at it.
You know, Nathan, the problem is I started getting communications from all over the nation, social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I can speak for most real progressive Democrats and sane independents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell Joe Biden the same thing I warned Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama 4 years ago on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Joe wants our vote. Well, progressives want Medicare for all, a living wage, no more regime change wars, a Green New Deal, and I still want that tray from Sammy's Pizzeria. You know, go fetch, Joe.
Well, I tell you one thing, you know, Sanders and Biden have been meeting fairly frequently by phone and I think in person at least one time in the past week, week and a day or so. And some of the things that Sanders pushes for, like Medicare for all, he couldn't get an absolute agreement from Biden on that, but he did get an agreement to begin to reduce the age that a person had to be to qualify for Medicare. So that's at least beginning to move in that direction. The proposal that I had made several years ago when Obama was president his first term, I tried to get people to buy into this thing, is increase or lower the age for Medicare eligibility for 2 years from 55 to 64, then the next 2 years from 45 to 54, the next 2 years from 35 to 44, the next 2 years from 25 to 34. And over that 8 or 10 year period, you'll wind up having everybody in Medicare. I think that's the route that you can go that has the least amount of disruption in it and gets everybody in a universal healthcare system in the soonest, you know, a possible time, given the politics of what goes on in this country. I agree with you. I think that there's no real reason why we don't have universal healthcare, period. We should have that right now, but we're not going to get it done with the political framework that we have right now.
Yeah. Anything we can get, you know, leverage. So I hope you and all the listeners have a great Easter quarantine.
There you go. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week. Help me out. Is it Kevin? Yeah, let me get Kevin in Pendleton. Kevin, I got you on early today. How you doing?
Yeah. Let me get early so I can kick my four points quickly in here.
Sure.
Man, you mind?
Oh, go ahead.
No. Oh, you had a break coming up, so you had to cut me short.
No, hit them all. Hit them all. Hit them all right now.
Okay, yeah. First things first. Shout out to John in Rochester, man. Yeah, yeah. Really, brother? Trump is an entertainer? I mean, this, you're giving guys... really? My president? I don't need to be there to be entertained, okay? If I want to be entertained, I listen to Al Nathan here and all his Democrat friends and them and watch Nancy Pelosi with her plastic surgery, okay? I'll be entertained that way. Really? Okay. Point number two.
I laughed at that one, too.
Alison here. Did you tell me that WHO, they had the formula, the test kit formula all the time and stuff like that, right? You did say a couple of weeks ago.
Who had the test kit? The WHO.
The WHO
had the right kind of test kit. They didn't have the
right
the number that they wanted because they weren't prepared for it like anybody else was.
Okay, yeah.
But World Health Organization, that's where the Chinese got their tests from. That's where the South Koreans got their tests from. So obviously they had tests that worked.
Right, and it works, right? Yeah, okay, right. But right, and therefore, and the Chinese then started making it, and a lot of countries were able to mass test people and stuff like that, including my folks back in Trinidad, kit and stuff. But guess what, Al Nathan here? Did you tell the people that all these test kits were being returned to China by Denmark, by Sweden?
They're being returned to
countries. They're going to return them, not only test kits, but do you know that the Chinese even sold face masks to the Italians? The very same face mask that the Italians had donated to the Chinese.
Are you saying that Chinese are manufacturing face masks and they're selling them to people, and the people they sold them to are giving them back?
That's right, my brother.
Okay, yeah. I haven't read that.
You haven't read that. Okay, no. Because yeah, look it up. Okay, but by the way, right? Did this sound the alarm that we should start doing a level of social distancing from the level that when I say so, not what we're doing right now, but so much in helping to isolate the source of the virus, which was in Wuhan, right? Why, right? Who sounded the alarm that that we should at least stop flights from China to avoid people who were infected from
Wuhan? So, Kevin, I know this is one of your, like, you read these talking points, but let me just speak to that point you're making there.
Okay.
Hold on, let me just speak to that. They never stopped flights from China to the United States. After he issued that order, there are 400,000 people that have entered the United States from China since the day that he announced that order. He just stopped people that he particularly didn't want, you know, to come. But he had lots of people that were business folks. He had lots of people that were wired people that came from China into the United States on airplanes. It's just a hoax. If Trump is saying it, I'm trying to get you to understand this. If Trump says it, you should always suspect everything he says. He is always lying.
I don't care about Donald Trump right now because as far as
well, I'm telling you that what you're about, this point you're trying to make about the people coming from that Trump did something laudatory because he stopped people from coming from China into the United States. Number one, he didn't do that. That's not what took place.
You bring up Donald Trump, right? In this is bigger than Donald Trump in this entire scenario, what's going on. And by the way, when you're talking about politicizing this entire situation, was it Donald Trump or Republicans or regular folks like myself who was saying that it was racist to ride subways or racist not to eat in a Chinese restaurant? Who is that coming from? Huh?
Who are you talking about?
I'm going with this. Oh, who are you talking about? Okay,
who is it that was saying that?
But don't
you didn't hear any Democrats say that. You heard nothing but Republicans and Tea Party people and redneck folks saying that. That's who's saying it right now. They're the same people that are spitting in Chinese people's faces right now. They're the same people that produced a commercial that had a Chinese American who has never set his foot in China until he was on a plane with Joe Biden in a trade mission. He had never set his foot in China before that time, but he was presented by one of Donald Trump's supporters, one of his organizational PACs, as if he was a Chinese person. These things, these tropes, these stereotypes, and this abominable behavior has been engaged in by the Republicans. You've not heard a single Democrat do anything like that on the record. You've not seen it one time. All right, I got to run, Kevin. You're killing me with this stuff. Let me get Jerry real quick in West Seneca. Jerry, how are you doing out there?
Doing okay, Nathan.
Sorry, I get a little animated with the open lying. There's no need to, you know, you can make your points, but you don't have to openly lie about stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, I hate to keep saying the same thing over and over, but, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of different things, and you were talking about that drug that Trump wants to try on everybody. Well, you know, they make the big mistake of they're looking for a cure for all these things that come out instead of focusing on prevention and what causes them in the first place. The same thing with cancer, the same thing with all the viruses. I think everybody knows that this originated in a meat market in China. And so did all the other viruses. Our addiction to meat, factory farms and slaughterhouses, this is what's causing all the, whether it's Ebola, swine flu, HIV scars, swine flu, they all, coronavirus, they all originated. And I, you know, I keep saying this to people, and you, because you don't get any of this information on mainstream media. And I think that part of the reason that we don't hear this on mainstream media, because if you watch TV and you listen to the commercials that they have on TV, it's all about, you know, eating really nasty, really crappy food like the American people eat. And then the next commercial, the drug commercial. So, you know, you can take this drug if you get, you know, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, you name it, autoimmune diseases that are, is directly caused by meat eating.
The truth is that the money is in the treatments. The money's not in the cure. A cure, if I get cured, I don't need to pay you anymore. I'm done. But if I need treatment, I got to keep being treated for the rest of my life. So the money's in the treatment, not in the cures.
Exactly. Isn't that sad, though?
Yep. So that's what we've got to get.
If we don't, wouldn't a healthier workforce, wouldn't that be very productive for a country instead of a sick workforce?
Well, you know, remember, you know, we got people that are thinking this thing out in terms of what is a body of principles, and you have other people that are thinking this stuff out in terms of what represents economic opportunity. Economic opportunity is winning out over principles, and that's why we're not getting where we need to go. I got to run, Jerry. Did we take our last break? Thanks, Jerry. We're going to take our last break, and then we're going to grab, help me out here, is it John? Okay, you guys will help me out. We'll see you on the side of the break here at Think Again. Think again.
Would you like to increase your home's value? Do you want to lower your energy bills? Are you in need of affordable financing for your next home improvement project? The CAO Home Improvement Resource Program can help. Just come to one of their monthly HIRP orientation sessions every first and third Wednesday of the month at two convenient locations. HIRP staff will help identify the resources you need to get financed, and they'll even help you with completing your application. Now, you won't know what you qualify for until you call 332-3773. That's 332-3773. Learn about all the home improvement programs you may be eligible for and ask about the affordable financing program that can help turn your house into your dream home. Call 332-3773 for more info. It's the Home Improvement Resource Program, restoring value to neighborhoods across Erie County, one house at a time. Brought to you by the Community Action Organization of Erie County.
30 million children rely on school for food.
And with schools shut down around the country, these children are extra vulnerable. We had an idea.
We're going to read you books.
Save the Children and Share Our Strengths, No Kid Hungry, are on the ground serving children who need our help now more than ever.
They've set up a fund to directly address the food shortage and educational needs of kids impacted by COVID-19.
All you have to do is watch our stories.
Share our stories.
And we'll get through this together.
During a time of great uncertainty, it's more important than ever that Western New Yorkers stay connected. ESPN 1520 is committed to ensuring that you stay connected with the latest information and updates on how COVID-19 is impacting our community. Whether you're at home, at work, in the car, or online, stay connected with local news, updates, and information. ESPN 1520 is helping Western New York stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
All day, every day. This is Buffalo's home for ESPN Radio. 50,000 watt ESPN 1520.
All right. Too good to be true. All right, guys. We got five people up to bat, and we got 15 minutes, so we got to do about 3 minutes per. Let me grab John in Buffalo, right? Yep. Let me get John. How you doing out there, John?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. Long time, Al.
Yep, good to hear from you.
That was before, last time I talked to you was before this craziness, and we could just talk about how regularly corrupt and pathetic and disgusting Republicans
That's
were.
That's right. That was normal corruption,
really,
right?
Seeing it, huh? We're really seeing all those people who just couldn't vote for Hillary because, oh, those emails and Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Why would we want to have a competent senator, first lady, secretary of state?
Can't have that.
Wouldn't want her in. Nope. Taking over from Obama and maybe even expanding the pandemic research and
we want the guy that said that we didn't want to find out how many cases that we have, corona cases
and
that
he's
we have.
Doing everything he can to not to find out.
Right, because it would make me look bad.
He let us know it's the numbers. I want those numbers to stay low. That's why they put that cruise ship in.
Yep.
Because we wouldn't want to have a couple more dead people on my hands.
Mm-mm. No, and that's why they don't want to do the testing. He doesn't want. They're only testing people that already look like they got the virus. That doesn't help you. You really got to test large swaths of the population.
Because people can have it and not know they have it. Because 20% of the people who get it have no symptoms. So they're the most scary ones because they're out. They don't know they have it. They can't get tested.
Right.
And so just botched response from the beginning and try to wish it away. It's just so sad when you look at the difference between New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo and the leadership he's showing and just the pathetic, whatever the clown show is that the Trump administration with no one's at the head of any of the agencies. They're all acting. A lot of them aren't even filled.
We got Chief Jared Kushner. He's the head of the guard, right?
No, but no one knows who's running anything. Is the White House running it? Is the Health Department
Health
running
and Human
it.
Services, right? But whoever it is that's running it, they're still doing some stuff that doesn't make sense. They're not focusing on how do you solve the problem. They're only focusing on how you react to where the problem appears, but they're not getting in front of it.
His buddies on Fox News promoting the anti-malaria drug cocktail, which has a lot of side effects and can kill you. Mm-hmm. But I take it, why not? What do you got to lose? Yeah.
Of course, the doctor we talked about earlier in the program said you could lose your life.
Right, and some people have.
Exactly.
And plus, they're purposely undercounting things because 10 times the normal amount of people are dying in their homes in New York City.
Yep.
And the fire department issued a statement, the New York City Fire Department issued a statement saying it's probable 90% of these are coronavirus.
You got it going around in nursing homes all over the country right now.
And sadly, before I go, I'll make one prediction.
Sure.
I hope it's not true, but I really probably think it will be true that when it really rages through the South, particularly Florida, it's going to make Italy seem mild.
Wow. I hope they get in front of this thing. I really do. Thanks, man. All right, let me get Al in Buffalo. Al, how you doing out there?
I'm hanging in there.
All right.
Testing availability remains a signature failure, from this administration.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do we go from here? You know, as they're throwing, or literally lifting dead bodies in a forklift and putting...
I saw it in New York in that park I think it's in the Bronx.
Brooklyn, New York. So this is for real, folks. I mean, this pandemic is not a hoax. The real hoax is Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So
it would be different, Al, if he would have said like a week or so ago, I know I said this was a hoax, 5 or 6 weeks ago, whatever it was. But I was wrong. This is not a hoax. This is real. I thought the Democrats were making a big hype about it. I was wrong. This is real.
Yeah.
And then you get everybody all on the same page. But you can't unify people if you continue to base everything on lies. You have to unify people based on things that are true.
Right. What about the national strategic stockpile? What's going on with that? With Jared, what's his name? Kushner?
Kushner, right.
Kushner. Are they hoarding?
Yes. They actually took Denver had ordered 500 ventilators. The company he ordered them from only sent him 100 ventilators, and the others were given to the Strategic Reserve because right. Trump actually usurped the order and directed the company to give the newly manufactured ventilators to the Strategic Reserve and not to the state of Denver.
Right. So how do we debunk the misleading information infesting social media with the fact that people are saying all you big government people should stop depending on government and these governors should be doing all this stuff on their own. Wait a minute. I thought that the whole thing for the preamble, the first line, is that the government should look out for the general welfare of the people, right?
Right. And if you read the text of the Defense Production Act, it reads saying that the purpose of the act is so that the federal government can commandeer productive resources in the country and then distribute what they produce through the federal government. It's written in the act. Donald Trump says, no, that's the state's job to do it. Then he's actually using the power of the federal government to steal the orders that the states are making that are about to be filled and put that stuff in the Strategic Reserve so he can distribute that stuff and leave the states holding the bag and then blames the states if they're not successful in getting that done.
Right. Are these press briefings, are they helping us, helping Trump, or are they helping us? I mean, are they exposing Trump for...
They're not, well, I think that for the people that already didn't like Trump, it just exposes him more. But his fan base, the fanboys and fangirls that love Donald Trump,
the 40%,
they're just eating this up.
He went back down to 40%.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks, man. All right, let me grab Ron real quick in Cheektowaga. Ron, how you doing out there?
All right. One of the things that's not emphasized enough is this, the heavy lobbying by the National Association of Manufacturers mm-hmm. against invoking the Defense Protection Act.
Or right.
He's listening to them, and they, because they're making money, a real lot of money, some of them, off of this.
Yep.
What a terrible situation. People are dying, and they stick to this rigid ideology that somehow or another, this is socialism, and we can't do it, and people are dying over this. I mean, this is so sick. You know, we could have done that during the war, couldn't we? I mean, during World War II.
Right.
You know, this is really socialism. You know, it's funny because one of the arguments I always get a kick out of, that the New Deal really didn't take us out of the Depression. It was World War II. Of course, that's actually true in a fundamental sense, but it was also the most socialistic time in American history. Wage price controls, rationing, a limit of cost plus 10% profit, stuff like that. And the unemployment rate went down to 2.9% mm-hmm. in the summer of 1944. It's never been that low.
Right.
So the people who make that argument are making an argument for socialism anyways. And I remember my mother was so angry because my father was over there fighting the war, and she was on buses, you know, going to her job at Bell Aircraft and saying, hearing people say, gee, I hope this war doesn't end too quick. It's really helped me by making a lot of money. Anyway, but point is, in this whole thing, is right now they're so rigidly ideological that they won't allow to take the steps you really need to get a handle on this thing. And also, this idea that they keep talking about the official record is so distorted. We have just a number of infections and deaths. We've only tested a little over a million people, I believe, up to a few
days
ago.
Actually, yeah, 1.9 right now.
1.9 million, okay.
Right.
Out of 330 million people.
Yep.
And, you know, we can't really know how many people are dying out there in their own homes, in nursing homes, that haven't been tested,
right.
aren't being tested.
Right.
And if they're going to use this to cover up the true number
yep.
by just not doing the testing. That way they can look better. Trump will say, oh, only 50,000 people died.
Well, he's playing the
over.
Game both ways. He both
yep.
wants to, you know, limit how much we know about who actually got killed as a result of this virus. At the same time, he's playing this modeling game, you know, him and Dr. Fauci playing this modeling game. Well, you know, the model says it could be, you know, around 100,000 or 200,000, and it may be as many as 1.6 million and so on, so that when the number comes in at 40,000 or 50,000, he'll be able to say it's because of all of the things that he did that you had such a low number, when in fact the reason why we have such a high number is because of all the things he didn't do.
And the fact is, I don't know if we'll ever know the true number of people
right.
if we don't do the testing. That's
right.
the kill. And he'll get credit for that.
That's the deal.
The media is not, the so-called liberal media isn't emphasizing that.
Yep. Ron, I got to run. I got to get two more calls in this hour. I think I got John in Rochester. Let me get John real quick. John, how are you doing out there?
Hey, Nathan. I'm doing great. And I know President Trump is also doing great. But my question to you is, at the end of the month, the governor, who I think is doing a decent job, and, of course, our president, who's doing a very good job.
You're killing me.
The governor Cuomo said at the end of the month he will reevaluate lifting some of the restrictions.
So you think it's okay to start lifting the restrictions right now?
No, at the end of the month.
At the end of the month. And what's the measure that you're looking at that would decide for you whether or not you should lift the restrictions at April 30th or May 1?
Well, one of the restrictions is the data that I'm thinking about is what happened during flu season. Flu season started in October and up until early March. So you're talking 5 months.
So that's why I asked you this question, because when I ask you a question like that, I need for you to understand, when you look at a measure has to be valid. The reality is,
let me just finish.
If the coronavirus,
you didn't let me finish my point.
Okay, go ahead.
But my point is this: during the flu season, 24,000 people died from the flu in a 5 month period, and 400,000 were hospitalized.
Yeah.
You look at the statistics so far on this epidemic, there's a lot of similarities there. And during that 5 month period, did we have any restrictions on businesses, et cetera? No. So here's what I want you to understand,
John. John, just real quick. When we had the swine flu virus, we had almost 61 million Americans were infected with the swine flu virus, 61 million. We lost something close to 18,000 people over the course of that time period who died of that 61 million. We've had 505,000 people identified with the coronavirus right now, and we have almost 19,000 deaths already, and that's in less than a 3 month period. So you can't compare those two things. The other side of it is that when the weather gets warm, the record doesn't suggest that the coronavirus will disappear. People in Kenya, which is physically on the equator, have coronavirus taking place in Kenya. So heat is not something that stops the virus. Cold is not something that stops the virus. We don't understand enough about what stops the virus to have a handle on that. That's what the work is that people are doing right now.
I'm submitting that the cases of people having the coronavirus are way underreported. If you look at the people that get tested,
we know that
10% of the people that get tested are positive. If you multiply 10% by 330 million people, that's 33 million people.
That's true, but also keep in mind that the number of people that are dying as a result of having the virus is also being grossly understated. So it works both ways. We can't just pick through, you know, these statistics. But I appreciate you, man. I look forward to talking to you next week. Let me grab Donnie in Middleport before we close the show. Donnie, how are you doing out there?
I'm good. I have a question about the federal government commandeering these manufacturers. Can the governor of New York do it in the state?
Only the president can do that. That cannot be done by a governor of a state.
Because you got recently closed down pharmaceutical plants. They got the equipment, and you figure, why did they bring them online?
Well, if Trump really wanted to get on offense, he claims that he's a wartime president because he's fighting the war against this virus, then he would be about getting all of the manufacturing capability in the country that can manufacture these tests. He would direct those facilities to manufacture the tests. He would pay for those people for doing the manufacturing, and he would get testing done so that you get 80, 100 million people get tested to give you an idea of exactly where the virus is in the country, so that you know where you got to where you have to contain it and then mitigate it where it is. And then you can allow the people outside of those zones, you can allow them to get close to a normal economy, a normal life. But Trump's not doing that because if you have a really big number, he thinks it's going to make him look bad. That's the
question.
The deal. Go ahead.
Between the Army and Navy, I know they got chemical warfare specialists. Can mm-hmm. they manufacture it?
I don't know if the Army and Navy themselves can manufacture, but the CDC has labs. They can do it. But we have at least 15 labs in every state in the Union, except maybe Alabama may only have 10. But, you know, we have lots of labs. You know, we have probably 250 labs that we can use right now to do this manufacturing. So it just needs to be ordered and get done. Why it's not being done is because we don't have leadership that wants to do it.
I hear that.
Yep. Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate you, man. So all we can do is what we can do. So control the things that you can control. You stay safe. You keep cleaning the spaces that you touch. You make sure that you're cleaning your door handles. You make sure that you're keeping social distance between yourselves and other people. You make sure that the places where you are working, if you're still working, that they're adopting these practices as well. Fight for all of us. Let's fight this thing together. Let's not wait on somebody else to do it. Let's do it ourselves. We'll see you all next week here at Think Again. Think Again. You know who gather.
You've been listening to Think Again with L. Nathan Hare, sponsored by the Community Action Organization of Erie County. Be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for more Think Again.